This is the Schnitt Show.
On the gun issue in this country and our Second Amendment rights, the question is, how ugly is it going to get? You know, we have the president rolling out these executive actions that they intend to execute. Other things can't be done through executive action. We'll have to take congressional action. Also, I'm sure there's going to be constitutional and Supreme Court challenges to some of the gun actions from the president. So we will discuss all of this coming up. In fact, we're going to kind of bullet point exactly what the president said as a Second Amendment proponent and champion myself. And the fact that tens and tens and tens of millions of Americans are law-abiding gun owners. And a lot of what is being proposed here, well, listen, I'm not opposed to everything. I am in favor of smart changes or enhancements that would serve to protect our constitutional rights. And I have gone over this for years. I'm not a Johnny-come-lately on this, and I will discuss where things are lax and where things would be an overreach with what the president wants to enact. So welcome to Schnitt here on a Thursday, a jammed-up day. We'll get to the president in just a bit. Just a quick note here, if you are following the Matt Gaetz saga, there is a pretty good shot here that things are about to go from bad to worse for Matt Gaetz, in that his pal, his friend, his so-called wingman, this walking dumpster fire under what, like 30-something federal charges, this Joel Greenberg, who Gaetz described him as his wingman, allegedly, it looks like he's going to flip. And this information might be a little late. I suspect that he's already been cooperating and feeding plenty of information. In fact, I'm going to upgrade information to inflammation to the feds on Gaetz. Yeah, here's a headline. This is New York Post just a short time ago. This is a little less than an hour ago, New York Post, Matt Gaetz associate to take plea deal in sex trafficking case. Why do you get a plea deal? Well, there are multiple reasons you can get a plea deal. And, well, why could you potentially get less jail time in a plea deal? Well, in many cases, it's, well, the feds, they like to shake the tree and they want the lower-hanging fruit to start turning on the hierarchy, the upper end. So you know, you grab the low-level folks. The low-level folks turn you on to the medium-level folks. The medium-level folks turn you on to the top-level folks until you get to the kingpin. That's essentially how it works here. So we'll dive into the Matt Gaetz situation, but just, you know, a couple of things out of the New York Post article, and then I saw cable news started reporting on this shortly after I saw it on the, for instance, I was on my wall of monitors in here. I didn't see Fox report on this. Yep, you know, Fox has been a little quiet on Gaetz. Hello? Yeah, it doesn't shock me here. I am not a CNN fan. I am not an MSNBC fan, but you know, a story's a story here, and I will tell you that shortly after I saw the New York Post on this, CNN did have a breaking blurb, and they had a reporter on the street doing the story. Joel Greenberg, an associate of Matt Gaetz, is expected to take a plea deal, and that is involving his very own tawdry sex trafficking case. And the word is that he is going to cooperate. Let me break that down a little bit. Let me get into a little bit of a explanation mode. Sing like a canary is what I'm expecting here. So he's going to cooperate with the feds. And that's according to numerous reports out today. Yeah, Greenberg's lawyer And prosecutors said in court that the former Florida County tax collector, this was an elected tax collector for Seminole County, Florida, which is just outside of Orlando. And this guy was running the tax collector off this as like this personal grift, and you know, making ID cards for underage girls. Just bizarre stuff. I mean, it was almost like he got elected to fund, or fund's not the right word, but to perpetuate his like sex club and these sex games. It's really, really bizarre stuff. And prosecutors accuse him of paying an underage girl for sex and then going into the Florida State Motor Vehicle Database, which the tax collectors in each county, clearly the tax offices in each individual Florida county, they have the ability. They're all online. They're on the Florida Department of Motor Vehicles website in the database. And he would tap in to get information on people that he had relationships with. And then, of course, this opens up the door to Matt Gaetz, who the rumblings are that he had sex with a 17-year-old girl and then paid for that underage girl to travel with him across state lines. And that's where the feds then have a federal case, under 18, traveling, having sex, and then there's some type of financial consideration. And it could even be just paying for airfare or supplying airfare. Or buying a meal, buying a hotel room. That's all that it would take to trigger the feds from going after you on sex trafficking charges with this under 18 girl. And as I've told you in the past, the feds have prosecuted a good number of these cases. You know, we're talking folks that are, you know, not well known. We're talking about regular Joe public, regular citizen. And what has happened in these cases, for some reason, the feds, the Department of Justice, and this is not a political witch hunt because you can go back and there are multiple cases regarding this. They go after this really heavily handed. There's something in the DOJ, and clearly they want to make a point, but there are certain crimes, it seems, that there is a heavier hammer, or that they, maybe the stomachs are turned a little more, and it would be, you know, a sex trafficking case, which I fully understand. But if you look historically in some of the reporting that I've read, that the feds are able to get some hefty prison sentences on things similar to what Matt Gaetz did. So that's where we are. And there's more. I just wanted to touch base on this at the very, very beginning of the show today, that things could be going from bad to worse for Matt Gaetz. That if Greenberg's plea deal is finalized, you know, word is that the plea deal is not completely finalized, but it should be in the upcoming weeks, according to reports. And it just might be the tip of the iceberg, the reports about this one 17-year-old girl. There might be a whole lot more. Hey, there's an investigation into some kind of a sexual shindig in the Bahamas. All right, I'm going to get into all that later on, but just out of the chute today, just a quick Matt Gaetz update and the breaking news that this cretin, this Joel Greenberg, is apparently cooperating with the feds. And again, translation, singing like a bird. Translation, he's going to sell Matt Gaetz down the river, is what one would expect in a case like this. So I'm telling you right now that if Matt Gaetz thought, oh, no, he's not going to crack, he's going to protect me, I'm okay here. Matt Gaetz is not going to be sleeping extremely well this evening. And only Matt Gaetz knows what Matt Gaetz knows, meaning what other skeletons are in the closet. And I've always said, hey, if Matt Gaetz happens to be listening in the panhandle right now, Matt Gaetz is innocent until proven guilty. But we have a big grease fire in the kitchen, and there's a whole lot of smoke. Let me put it that way. Got a whole lot of smoke. But innocent until proven guilty, and you know what's racing through Matt Gaetz's mind at this point. Oh, my God, what else? What else do they know? If there is more to know. My inkling is, my inner core guesstimation module is blinking. And it is saying, yes, there's more. So I know Gates is probably just going through everything, every possible. If there were many improprieties, I'm sure he's making a mental inventory. Oh, my God. Because I'm guessing, folks, and again, listen, I don't have knowledge, but I'm guessing that this Joel Greenberg, he knows where all the bodies are buried, so to speak. And to save his own ass, yeah, he's gonna sell Gates down the river. And Gates has got to be mentally inventorying. Oh, man, what I do, what I do, what else, what else? Oh, man, I get, you know, trying to remember all the things that Joel Greenberg could supply to the feds. And then we have, and we'll get into this more on Greenberg. There is more regarding Matt Gaetz, and we'll get to that in due course during the show. We got a lot of stuff today, just a busy, busy program. I want to get into Biden's executive actions today regarding guns. And again, no shocker. We knew this was coming. I gave you a heads up earlier in the week, and I told you, heads up, Thursday morning, the president is going to be speaking, and he did. And we will explain. This was late this morning. This began, shortly before 12 noon, if I'm not mistaken, in the Rose Garden at the White House. And if you believe in the Second Amendment of the United States of America, if you believe in the right to bear arms, well, you're going to need to hear what they're planning. And what items do I have flexibility on? I'm not going to be an absolutist here and say every aspect of gun laws are set in stone and can't be changed. No, there are things that I'd like done to protect we law-abiding gun owners in this country. So I'm going to tell you where Biden is barking up the wrong tree. I'll tell you where he might have a case. I'll tell you what I believe in as an owner of numerous guns, long guns, handguns, items that require a federal stamp from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. I'm going to give you the real take. You know me. You're going to get the unvarnished real deal, and we'll dive into Biden's rollout next on Schnitt. Back in a moment, folks.
Schnitt Show. On the Schnitt list every day at schnittshow.com.
I got a little bit of President Biden here from the event earlier today at the White House announcing his executive actions. I think it is very, very important for me to come out of the box here and inform you that Biden's executive actions, there is nothing massively draconian here. We all love our Second Amendment rights. Again, as I've said, I am a personal protection advocate, a concealed carry advocate. I love my target practice. I'm not a hunter. I have plenty of friends that are, and that is their prerogative. You know, I'll eat meat all day long. I just don't want to shoot it. I'll let someone else, you know, do the slaughtering for me, but I love a good steak. Had a great El Cap burger last night with Michelle in St. Petersburg. You're ever around, you want the best burger around, go to El Cap on 4th Street in St. Petersburg, Florida. In New York City, couldn't find a burger that came close. True. But the bottom line here is, are there any massive teeth or are there any massive changes in Joe Biden's executive actions, which he listed today? The answer is not really. Some of these areas of proposed change are areas that I've already discussed on the show for years that I would support just intelligent changes. What we saw today, and let me lay this out, and I'm very concerned about the nibbles that then turn into big bites, and I'm going to address all of this. But really, if you look at the bulk of what Biden rolled out today, this was more of a puppet show. This was more of a charade, a feel-good to the anti-gun liberals and the progressives. But even they are not buying into a good deal of what Biden rolled out, because any of the serious meat, any of the serious teeth that they want, not in any of Biden's proposals and plans for executive action here. Now, I'm going to go down the list. We're going to talk about what Biden rolled out. I'm going to tell you what I agree with, what I disagree with, what's correct, what's not correct, as far as it meshing with my ideology. And I think that I'm pretty well grounded. You know, and I think I have a lot of right to speak on this subject as an individual who, for instance, I have two AR-15 pistols. One of my AR-15 pistols I actually manufactured into a SBR, a short barrel rifle, in which I had to jump through a few hoops. I had to wait a year to get a tax stamp. This item has to be registered with the feds, and it is. So I come from a position of knowing what the hell I'm talking about. But at the Rose Garden today, President Biden, who is flanked by Kamala Harris, who still has not been to the southern border yet. Also, the new attorney general was there, Merrick Garland. And Biden outlined these six executive actions that he is taking unilaterally without a single vote in Congress on guns. I'm going to go down the list. We're going to go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But as I've just prefaced, is there anything massive and major here that totally screws with our rights? Yep, hold on. We'll talk next.
The Schnitt Show. The Schnitt List is on.
SchnittShow.com.
Let me be 100% clear here. It always concerns me when you talk about new gun laws or regulations, or in this case, executive orders from the President of the United States. Even small nibbles obviously raise my eyebrows, because you're concerned that the small nibbles will then attempt to be turned into big bites. But the real honest take, the real deal analysis of what Biden did today was kind of small potatoes, really, to put things into perspective here. And trust me, much to the chagrin of the really anti-gun left and the progressives, not a whole lot of teeth in what Biden did today. So let's go over things one by one. I'll tell you where I might have a little bit of a problem, a big problem if is warranted, or not really a problem. But today was a, let me be clear, today was a bit of a charade. Big event, executive order, we've got to deal with the gun violence in this country. And you look at, for instance, the embattled AR-15, of which nobody knows really how many there are in the country, but, and this is a hell of a spread. Seriously, I'm not making this up. So there's somewhere between 5 and 10 million AR-15s in the country. It's a big spread. We don't have a real good grasp on exactly how many. And when you have that many guns, even if you take the lower end of 5 million AR-15s in this country, and you look at the number of crimes committed with guns with an AR-15, and you compare it to other firearms, the AR-15 is used in a fraction of 1%. I mean, it's like 0.000 something. It's a fraction when you look at the gun crime in the country. And of course, the AR-15 is the easiest target, and oh, it's a scary weapon. It's one of these black guns. It's a military gun. Nobody needs this firepower. Well, I believe in the right to bear arms. I don't think that there's a delineation. that there are certain weapons that I should be allowed to own. As far as having rocket launchers, you know, there are some reasonable boundaries. But again, the AR-15, because of the press, the media, and how a mass shooting with an AR-15 gets all of the attention, that's why it has always been a heavy target. But today, again, much to the chagrin of the anti-gun crowd in this country, Biden did not attempt an executive order to ban the AR-15. That, first of all, he doesn't have the ability to do that, but that's what they want. The anti-gun crowd, they want to see Joe Biden come out swinging and at least lay the groundwork for a new so-called assault weapons ban, which we had, and then it sunset some years ago. The anti-gun crowd also wanted to see Biden move, for instance, on a ban on high-capacity magazines. You know, the irony is right now that there is a massive ammo shortage, so a lot of people can't get their hands on the ammo to fill a whole bunch of high-capacity magazines. Listen, I'm not saying that if you got three or four, you know, MagSafe 30-round AR mags, or, you know, I like the H&Ks. I spend the extra money, and I've got a ton of the H&K metal, well-built German, 30-round mags. And, you know, I don't have an ammo problem because I've always, for years, have always made sure my stock of ammo was dynamic. I've always had a policy. If I own the gun, if the gun is in my collection, if I've got that caliber, I've got to have more ammo than I'm ever going to need. So that's why I have not been caught with my pants down with this ammo shortage. But the interesting thing here is, you know, with the talk of trying to ban these ARs, you know, people are having trouble getting their hands on a lot of ammo these days. Yeah, there legitimately is a shortage, and there's a multitude of reasons. I don't have time to go into it now. But again, today, Biden at the White House, it was more of a dog and pony show. It really was. It was more of a show, more of a charade. And let's go down the list here. A lot of this is a cave. You know, to be 100% honest, a lot of this is a cave. And I can't. So have we seen any of the activist groups, the anti-gun groups? Has anyone come out swinging yet? That, you know, Biden's executive orders, that there's not a lot of teeth here. I'm just curious. I'm sure they're going to show up on MSNBC and CNN, and I'm sure we can pull some audio when they do show up. But today was a bit of a cave. You know, today, let's call this what it was. It was sort of a tacit admission by the White House that Congress does not have an appetite for heavy-handed gun restrictions in this country. And Democrats, they don't have a filibuster-proof majority to take on serious gun measures in this country. We already have things passed by the House of Representatives, but guess what? You're not going to get a reciprocal vote in the U.S. Senate at this point. And again, a name that I've mentioned numerous times, Senator Joe Manchin out of West Virginia, he is, guess what? He is the Second Amendment lover's ally right now in Congress, in the U.S. Senate. So these executive actions, which Biden rolled out, what we saw today was an admission, a reality check, that Joe Biden has to go it alone on some of these issues, which really don't have massive teeth, because he has failed to try to get some kind of a consensus in Congress. It's just not there. So this is what Biden announced. And again, I'm gonna tell you right now, there's not a whole lot of teeth here. And there are points that Biden made. A lot of this, I don't have major problems with some of this. Some of this is common sense. But again, it doesn't go anywhere near where the anti-crowd, the anti-gun crowd wants him to go. And again, I do have concern whenever there are nibbles or it's a low rumble, my head snaps to attention to make sure it doesn't turn into a loud roar. You know, people think if a gun law exists, that any change whatsoever is going backward. If there are some protections that get the anti-gun crowd off of our backs, or if it doesn't, no pun intended, give them the ammunition to go after us, is there a win for we on the Second Amendment gun-owning crowd? And I'm going to explain here in a second. First, Biden announced that the Justice Department within 30 days will issue a proposed rule to help curb the proliferation of ghost guns. And ghost guns are essentially, these are guns that are homemade. They're made from parts, kits bought online that do not have traceable serial numbers. Now, in some cases, you're dealing with parts that are 3D printed, you know, out of plastic, for instance. And I tell you what, a lot of the gun dealers that I know who live and thrive on our Second Amendment privileges, a lot of the guys that I know are opposed to these ghost guns. And it's a relatively small market. And would you rather have, and again, some see any infringement or any impingement on anything to do with guns as a slippery slope. I don't take that on a wholesale level. I take it one step at a time. So, yeah, do I want unregistered guns or guns with no serial numbers or guns that are slapped together Frankenstein guns? Now, if somebody that's law-abiding is putting this together, are they a problem? I don't think so. But the problem is, what is the story with individuals that do have nefarious purposes? But it must be pointed out that the high-profile shootings in this country, ghost guns are not used. Let's call a spade here. The high-profile shootings in this country, these have been, for the most part, guns that were part of a family collection, or with the case of the two recent shootings at the massage parlors in Georgia and in Colorado at the King Super supermarket, those were legitimately purchased handguns from federally licensed dealers with FFAs, or FFLs rather, with federal firearms licenses. So again, on its surface, you know, trying to tamp down the ghost guns, that ultimately might be beneficial to take away a talking point to attack us gun owners. Now, Biden said that he wants these kits and parts to be treated as firearms, whereas the parts have serial numbers and are, the buyers are subject to background checks. You know, you can buy AR parts, for instance. There are certain parts that I don't think should require a background check. You know, if you buy, for instance, an upper for an AR-15, if you've got a lower and you want to put a different upper on, I don't think you should have to undergo a background check necessarily for that. The ghost gun issue and the manufacture of these Franken guns, I would take a look at that. Again, there's a lot of show here. There's a lot of smoke here, and there's not a whole lot of substance in what Biden rolled out today. Number two, the Justice Department within 60 days will issue a proposed rule to make clear that a device marketed as a stabilizing brace, which effectively turns a pistol into a short-barreled rifle, should be subject to the requirements of the National Firearms Act in a manner which would be similar to the purchase of a suppressor. I don't agree with that as far as a stabilizing brace or what you would put at the typically you'd essentially be making a stock. And with these AR pistols, you have a shorter barrel and you are required to get permitting or not allowed to have certain furniture on these particular guns. Furniture, by the way, would be the stock or some of the accessory items, a front hand grip, for instance. That's just an inside term, a gun industry term. It's called furniture for your piece. And again, the shooter out in Colorado had a stabilizing brace. These are not, you know, ominous items. But that is an area which they're trying to, at least put on a bit of a show with the stabilizing brace. Yeah, I'm not for, you know, having to have an NFA stamp for the purchase. Now, see, this is where you get into a slippery slope. If you put a piece of furniture on what is designated as an AR pistol, then in some cases, depending on what kind of furniture you put on this weapon, then it gets turned into a short barrel rifle. And an SBR would require a federal stamp, a tax stamp. So again, it's cause and effect, if you understand what I'm talking about. Number three. Oh, and again, the shooter out of King Soopers in Boulder, he apparently used one of these arm braces or, one of these devices, a stabilizing brace, to stabilize his shots. Because the AR pistols with the short barrel, they're intended to be used more as a pistol instead of having the ability to brace it against your shoulder, etc. So again, if you meet certain conditions and you add a device to a short barrel rifle or to a AR pistol, then it becomes an SBR. And yeah, that would be subject already to existing rules. Now, should you ban the sale of this item? If you want to, for instance, use it on a rifle, if you want to change a stock out? See, that's where the slope gets a little slippery for me. And we already have a rule in you can't put certain items onto what's classified as a pistol because then it becomes an SBR, a short barrel rifle. All right, number three, how much time do I have? I'm going to have to carry this out into hour number two in just a bit. Number three, within 60 days, the DOJ will publish model red flag legislation for states that don't currently have a red flag law. And again, we've talked about these many, many times. I don't dislike red flag laws. In fact, let's look at some of these mass shootings. The family of the maniac just recently out in Boulder, the brother said that he was off his rocker. The brother said that he had mental problems. But a red flag law is only as good as the family or friends or whomever that is going to use that law to try to get firearms taken away. In this case, it appears in the Boulder King Super supermarket massacre that the family knew that the shooter was mentally deficient, that he was out of his freaking mind. They knew that he had guns. There was a story that the guns were even taken away by a family member, but ultimately given back. So if you have a red flag law here, what good would it have done if no one's going to call the family member out or the individual out on being called on the carpet with a red flag law? You know, we've discussed this many times. A red flag law allows a family member or law enforcement to petition a court order to temporarily bar people in a mental state, an emotional crisis, from accessing firearms if they present a danger to themselves or others or the community. But if you've got a family that's not going to say, hey, we got a cuckoo relative here, we need to move on this, then what good does it do? All right, hang on. We're going to move on with the rest of Biden's list next. Hang on.
This is the Schnitt Show.
President Biden earlier today made a pretty significant gaffe at the White House when rolling out these executive order measures. Also, I want to address the bump stock, you know, as compared to the stabilizing brace. That was what the Vegas shooter used. Hold on. Hour two, Schnitt, next.